You know what I'm going to do actually right now? I'm going to go to clip number 16. Polk County, Florida sheriff announced 157 arrests in a human trafficking operation. Some of the people, arrested included Disney World employees. And he places the blame fairly, squarely where it belongs, in the open border policy, as a huge percentage of the child trafficking sex criminals are illegal immigrants let in by the federal government. Won't be able to play the full his full statements here, but we'll get to a good chunk. Here is the sheriff of Polk County in Florida.
First, I want you to see this chart. 25 illegal immigrants were arrested in this operation. They were from Venezuela, Cuba, Colombia, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico. 16% of these total arrests were people who should not even have been in this country, but they were here. And they were here because we have a federal government that enabled these criminals to come into the country and then treated them very well after the criminals came here illegally. So let me share a story with you, and then I'm going to read a quote for you and then let you see a video. The prostitutes that came here, several of them had to pay off a coyote debt. Some of them said, hey, we did it for because it was easy money. Others said, well, we came here and we were illegal. We couldn't get employment, so we turned to prostitution. Some of them said, we were threatened and our family was threatened if we did not prostitute for the coyotes or for the human traffickers. So I'm going to tell you one story about one of our suspects, Maria, and that's not her real name. She's from Venezuela. She made a conscious decision to come to this country to commit crime. She flew into Mexico from Venezuela. She walked across from Juarez, Mexico, into El Paso, Texas, with her one-year-old child, where she was greeted by the Border Patrol. Did you hear what I said? She was greeted by the Border Patrol. There was no sneaking. She flew in. She got here. She simply walked across the open border. There is no border security at the southern border. Zero. It doesn't exist. So when she was greeted, and you'll understand why we use that term in a minute, you'll understand that she went to the Border Patrol processing, where in one day she completed the processing and was released to a facility, a holding facility, a housing facility for immigrants. She said, I was given a DNA test to make sure that my DNA matched my child's. He was given a DEA test to make sure he was really my child. She said, once that occurred, they set me down and they told me all about the benefits that I would get in the United States. She said I was eligible and I had to fill out these forms so that I could get those benefits. She said, so I fill forms out for Medicaid, for SNAP, which is money for food. She said, I was given free travel from the border to Chicago. When I got to Chicago, I couldn't find gainful employment there, so I thought, what the heck? I'll go to Florida. And then I got to fly to Florida. She was giving free housing, all because the United States paid for that. That's right, you, the taxpayers, got to pay for that. So this was all simply walking across the border. She said it was unbelievable to me. But let me read her quote, because understand, she came, walked across the border. This was not a stealthful act. And then they gave her free travel, free housing, free food.
She, of course, is not alone.
Medical care.
We're just importing problems, people raping children. It's horrible.
I don't fight tyranny because I hate the tyrants. Oh, I do hate them. I do it because I love the people behind me I'm defending. I don't know how all this is going to end, but if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. I've been holding back my real capabilities. I'm most ashamed of. It's a little scary. I have decided and am just now accessing the genetic memory codes to release my full potential against the New World Order. Good luck, globalist. Because if you thought Alex Jones was a problem before, I want you to throw everything you've got at. Whatever you think it is you need to do.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, second hour of American Journal is on. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. Give us a call at 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Taking your calls now on American Journal. Open line Friday. Give us a call about whatever you want. I still have some videos to show you. And I think we'll go to this one. It's Yuval Noah Harari talking about organic life. I only watched the beginning of this clip, but it's always interesting slash infuriating listening to this guy. Yuval Noah Harari on organic life, clip number 22. Let's watch.
You've talked about humans having some misinformation, and then you've talked about the way the algorithms work. Is there a difference between an organic information system, meaning human information system, and an inorganic one?
Yes, there are many differences. One is that organic entities like us, like human beings, we work in cycles. There is day and night, winter and summer. Sometimes we are active. Sometimes we need rest. We need sleep. The algorithms are tireless. They never need to rest. They are not organic. And what we see in the world now is that they increasingly force us to work according to their pace. There is never any time to rest. The news cycles is always on. The markets are always on. The political game is always on. And if you force an organic entity to be on all the time, to be always active, always excited, it eventually collapses and dies. And, you know, the most misunderstood and abused word in the English language today is the word excited. A lot of people mistake the word excited for happy. Like they meet somebody, they say, oh, I'm so excited to meet you. Or like you publish a new book, oh, this is so exciting. Now, excitement is not always good. Excitement for an organic being, like a human being, means that your nervous system and your brain are very engaged, very active. Now, if you keep an organic system very excited all the time, it breaks down, collapses, and eventually dies. And this is what happens now to democracies all over the world. This is what is happening to humanity. We are far too excited. We need time to rest. We need to kind of slow down. And because we give increasing control of the world to tireless, non-organic algorithms that never need to rest and can just increase the excitement all the time, we are breaking down. We need more boredom, not excitement, in politics, in economics, in many fields.
You know, Yuval Noah Harari, he's like the perfect example of the person that dumb people think are smart. Like, if you listen to what he just said uncritically, it sounded profound, didn't it? Didn't that sound profound? Was it, though? Was anything he said even accurate? Or is this just a complete misinterpretation of everything he's describing? There are some aspects to organic versus inorganic life, or just within the kingdom of organic life, that don't fit into his little paradigm that he just said in some interesting ways. For one thing, I wonder, would you consider a city an organic manifestation, or is that inorganic? I don't really know. I guess it kind of treads the line there, because obviously it's composed of organic beings, humans, but a city as an entity survives its humans, and it doesn't die. So he says things that, again, seem profound. Seems like he's drawing a connection that would illuminate the concept that he's talking about, but it's just not true. So he says, you know, when organic beings are excited, there's too much excitement, and if an organic system is very excited all the time, it breaks down, collapses, and eventually dies. Well, cities don't ever die, more or less. I mean, maybe in a thousand years, some crazy event will happen where cities will die, but like, you know, Rome, Damascus, these places have been around for thousands upon thousands of years. And there's a, how to explain this? There's a weird phenomenon. In organic life, the bigger things get, the slower they get. Think about a mouse versus an elephant. A mouse, all of its movements are quick and twitchy. Its heart is beating incredibly rapidly, but it's tiny. An elephant, its heart beats very slowly. Its moves are all slow. Now, that is the opposite of what happens in things like cities. The smaller a city is, the slower it is. The slower things move, the slower things get done. And you've got the New York Minute, right? Big cities. The bigger the city is, the faster it moves. The faster the people move, the faster things happen in it. So I guess a city would not be organic in this regard, because organic things get slower and more deliberate the bigger they get. Cities get faster and faster the bigger they get. But it doesn't die. It never dies. And only increases. In organic life, human beings, sure, yeah, there are cycles because it's natural, because nature occurs in cycles. Cycles are necessary for nature to occur. We wouldn't have life on this planet if we didn't have seasons, right? If we didn't have the cycle of winter and summer, or the cycle of day and night, which is possible, right? The moon face always faces the Earth. It's certainly possible a planet would have its, a face always pointed at the sun, but it doesn't. We have a spin and a tilt, and all of these things are necessary for the creation of life. It's organic and good and necessary, and something metaphysical about it is required for life to exist. Now, the one thing that sort of embodies the mindset of the Yuval Noah Harari types in this world is a deep-seated hatred of nature because of the limitations, because they would rather supplant it with something more amenable to their designs. So obviously, if you just start running and never stop running, I guess you're going to die. I guess you can run until you're dead. Yes, you have to sleep. Yes, you have to rest to, you know, rebuild muscle or whatever. But he doesn't seem to take into account the fact that if you have a human being who is going all of the time, who's always in a state of excitement, who's always exercising, doing something physical, or working hard, you actually get stronger, which is the opposite with inorganic materials, right? If you take a car and you just drive it as far as you can, as hard as you can every single day, it's going to break down a lot faster than any other car. It's the opposite with human beings or organisms. If you're a human being and you go as hard as you can every single day, you're going to get stronger and faster and better as time goes on. So I don't even know if I don't even have like a profound contradiction to what Yuval Noah Harari says. It's just what he's saying is not real. It may sound smart. It may sound profound, but it's based on a lot of falsities. It eventually collapses and dies. And his main message basically is we need to slow down. And we know, like, his ultimate design, where he sees the world going and is helping to guide the world there, is a world in which human beings are useless eaters whose, you know, their only concern for human beings is not in meaning and building and creating and establishing permanence and having an effect on the third dimension. It's you're a burden. You're kind of a burden, and we just have to waste time with you. You're just going to be playing video games until you're dead, and you wanting to achieve things and be a, and accomplish things and be a part of power structures and be engaged. That's, he's telling you that's bad for you. Okay. That's bad for you. You need to slow down. You're going to die if you keep going. You're not a robot. You're not a, so let the robots do the work. Let the algorithms that I program make all the choices for you. And you just stop worrying about it. Relax, sit back, because you're going to die if you, you know, try to achieve something. So there's just this, this weird worldview of the globalists, the Yuval Noah Harari types, that it's all informed by this deep-seated hatred of nature, hatred of God, hatred of things that they can't control or that threaten their total control. I'm thinking again about the comparison between like the, like a mouse and an elephant, and then a small town and a big city, and the differences there, and the fact that you've got, you know, whales and things, because not only does the speed of the, of the, you know, atomical processes speed up the smaller you get, the things that are smaller don't live as long as things that are bigger and things that are stronger. It's just, again, a complete disconnect with reality and with human nature and with nature itself. And these people are able to draw connections between, you know, how a computer is tireless and a human isn't. Wow, how profound. I can't believe it. But the conclusions that they're drawing from these are based on faulty premise, and so the outcome is faulty. The problem is that because they're rhetorically skilled, they're implementing measures based off of their flawed premises and inaccurate outcomes. And they're too proud to recognize that, and will continue until everything does collapse and eventually die. And that, of course, is their biggest fear, and everything they do is predicated on the fear of death that cripples them from recognizing the beauty of life. It's pretty amazing. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got Daryl in North Carolina, who's just called in about Hurricane Helene, which, of course, the cleanup and repairs are still going on. But I had not heard what you called in about, Daryl, on line 7. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Congratulations on the family. And the more Harrison Smith DNA we have in this country, the better.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I have an update on the front of the weather war here in Western North Carolina. So y'all know about the floods that blew through that were, of course, a once in a thousand year, never happened kind of flood. Yeah. The body count is they have 13,000 missing people still. So the numbers are being way underreported. Yeah, 13,000 missing people, way underreported on the numbers. And then check this out. A couple days ago, they parked a cold front right over Western North Carolina. Now, our temperatures right now are 30 degrees below average. This, wow, this time of year in Asheville and that area, it's known as the most beautiful fall weather. It goes into the 80s. I mean, it's like the lows are, you know, maybe 60s, highs can hit the 80s for all of October and November. So the last 2 days, we're in the 30s, like 31, 32 degrees. And they say it's going to stay that way for 10 days. So it's clear to me that, you know, they flooded these people out. They got no homes. They got no power. And now they're freezing them to death.
Wow. And where's that, yep, where's that 13,000 number coming from? Where are you getting that number?
Here, I'll let's see. I've got it right here. Check out State of the Nation. A title is Patriot Alert, especially for white Christian folks living in flyover country.
State of
the Nation. And he's got all kinds of, yeah. And also, if I've been, you know, keeping up on this, of course, and everywhere, everyone that's boots on the ground out there, they're saying, you know, a town of 800, a town of 1,000, there's nobody there. There's nothing. It's just all been wiped away. All they're requesting is body bags, and there's all kinds of reports of, you know, thousands being delivered, and they're saying we need more. So they've just totally blown this. You don't even hear about this story anymore. I mean, it's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I had not heard anything remotely close to that. The official headline, having just searched it, is 81. So 81 missing, a bit of a disparity between 81 and 13,000. You know, there's a video, I hadn't had the chance to confirm it yet, so I wasn't going to play it today, but I think I'll grab it and pull it in. And it's a woman, I can't remember who it is, but it's somebody I know, is there in North Carolina, I believe. It's the truth about vaccine. No, it's Ann Vandersteel. Yeah, Ann Vandersteel apparently found a FEMA camp being built in a massive compound west of Asheville, where they're talking about having space for 700 people, but there's nobody there as of now. The guy's telling Ann this facility will hold up to 700 people, being built for FEMA responders who help the locals, but the locals who are homeless are freezing to death and don't have a place to lay their heads indoors, sleeping in tents. We're helping these people. Ann Vandersteel asked why they're all armed, because no one's there, and they just said it was standard protocol. So I'm going to try to download this video and put it in the folder here so we can play it maybe in the next segment, because that is extremely concerning. And of course, I don't know, could it be 81 people? Probably more than that. 13,000? Kind of believable, actually. And this is the problem with the complete lack of coverage. There's sort of no one asking. There's no one looking around. There's no one checking the numbers. There's no one, you know, comparing the lists of citizens to, you know, those who have been confirmed safe. And this maybe, you know, this is why. They just want to downplay it. If it really is that bad, 13,000. Yeah, nearly 100 people still missing in North Carolina after Hurricane Helene. Search and rescue teams are looking for missing, officials said, with 95 deaths already attributed to the storm's wrath in the state. Now, I don't know if we'll ever get official numbers. Certainly not if nobody's looking for them. Nobody's asking the question. Nobody taking these statistics. Daryl, had you heard about the FEMA camp being set up? Do you know anything about that? Because, again, if it is getting that cold and people's houses have been destroyed, I hope they're not sleeping on the streets, but obviously a shelter of some sort, extremely useful for FEMA to provide. Are they providing anything like that? Anything you've heard in terms of what FEMA is or is not doing there, Daryl?
I saw the same video that you did. It was the video of the FEMA camp, and that's all I know about it. I haven't seen it myself, but I did see the video, and it sure looked like Western North Carolina. There's a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Jovan Pulitzer. He's an alternative media guy. He's been around for a while, but he lives in that area, and he's the super prepper. I mean, he's got all kinds of backups, like diesel and propane. And his area didn't get flooded out, but he's lost power. And he did I forget her name. I want to say Kim something. He did a podcast recently that kind of goes in and out, but he talks about more of a reality. He's a very good speaker, and so look up Jovan Pulitzer. Okay. And he's basically laying down, you know, what's going on. And, oh, man, it's just, it's a true nightmare. And I'm trying to, you know, as a Christian, you know, we try to keep a sense of humor about everything, even death. It's hard about this. But I just want to tell you one last thing regarding the Bret Baier and Kamala Harris interview.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is like this. Madam Vice President, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Well, Brett, I'm glad you asked. Donald Trump ate my breakfast. You know, Donald Trump hates breakfast, and Donald Trump, he's going to ban breakfast for all black and brown people. That's my impression.
That is very accurate. Thank you. Thank you for that, Daryl. The video people are seeing on the screen, this actually is the FEMA camp that is apparently set up in North Carolina. And look, I was sort of joking about it when I first returned, because I'd been off for 2 weeks, and basically the story of the hurricane had disappeared. And so I was joking. All right, two weeks. That's what we get. 2 weeks in this incredibly devastating hurricane, the tragedy that occurred, the failures of FEMA and every other governmental program to do anything for these people. Of course, the weather weapon aspect to it, which cannot be overlooked. And not even the weather weapon. You know, people have an idea that weather weapons either would be America attacking itself, which is certainly possible, but it could easily be a foreign country using weather, weaponizing weather against America. Is that as ridiculous as the fact that the Chinese, who openly publish their weather modification programs with 80,000 plus employees working full time to design the weather, is it, you know, out of the question that they might use that technology offensively as well as defensively? No, not really. But even beside all of that, you know, the obvious message that just keeps being reinforced is you cannot rely on the government for anything in your personal life. In the same way that, you know, the cops technically are there to protect you, but in reality, they're not standing outside of your door like a guard, stopping anybody from breaking in. If somebody breaks in, steals your stuff or ties you up or kills you, and the cops show up afterwards to write a report about it and then pat themselves on the back about what a great job they did. It's the same thing FEMA does. Yeah, sure. You know, a couple weeks after the event, FEMA might show up, set up some stuff, hand out some stuff. But if a burglar's breaking into your house, you better be prepared to defend yourself. And if the storm hits your town, you better be prepared to provide for yourself and not have to wait for help. And it's, of course, incredibly inspiring to see the, you know, energy and generosity with which Americans support each other and help each other out. And it shows that you don't need the government. It shows that in a time of crisis, it's the American people that are going to support each other and look after each other, often despite the attempts of the government to slow things down and to bureaucratize everything extensively. And we, you know, we've sold storable food forever. We've sold water filters, life straws, and all sorts of things for a long time. And every time I plug one of these things, I remind people, this isn't only going to be helpful during the apocalypse. It's not that, you know, your purchase is going to go to waste if the government doesn't collapse and the world doesn't fall into chaos. And then it can be a storm. It can be a power outage. It can be a particularly cold winter like what happened here in Texas, where everything was frozen, trucks couldn't come in, stores weren't open, and if you didn't have storable food, I literally had people texting me, hey man, do you know where I can get some food and water? Hey, any idea where I can get sustenance to survive the next little while? So it doesn't have to be a major catastrophic event. It can be a storm, it can be a power outage, it could be civil unrest, it could be an EMP, it could be something intense and crazy, and you better be prepared then, but it can be a storm or a flood or a tornado or a hurricane or a lightning strike or anything else that could leave you sitting there thinking, gee, I should have gotten it when I had the chance, because you're going to need it at some point. And it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And by the time you need it, it's too late to get it. So get it now before you need it at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Get the water filters. Get the storable food. Better safe than sorry. And at the end of the day, the food is actually delicious. And even if nothing happens, and even if your life is without interruption for the next 20 years, then you've just bought a bunch of prepared, delicious, you know, microwavable or stovetop cookable food that is actually like very good quality and is not just survival rations. It's actually delicious food that just lasts forever. InfoWarsStore.com. Get it today.
I'm shooting this update on Tuesday, October 14th, 2024. In 28 days, InfoWars goes up for sale, and the bad guys say they're going to try to outbid the good guys and shut us down. Well, regardless of what happens, I'm going to stay on the air. And I know those of you watching and listening think the same thing, because you love America, you love freedom, and you're not rolling over to the globalists. You're not rolling over to their censorship and their bullying and how they've terrorized the American people. You're fired up and you are part. You are at the heart of the Great Awakening. Now, we make it really easy to ensure no matter what happens to InfoWars, we stay on the air and keep fighting without missing a beat. And the way to do that is to support our great sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, with incredible t-shirts, amazing ball caps, hoodies, you name it, that spread the word and promote a message of liberty, and you also meet like-minded people while you do it. There's also incredible supplements. For years, Irish sea moss has been all the rage as the superfood, because just in the concentrated moss itself, it's full of one of the best types of iodine that is such a key in our entire body. that has got all of these other superfoods and ingredients in it that just turbocharge the entire body, particularly the thyroid and all of your hormones in your body. The endocrine disruptors, the weed killers, the atrazine, all the glyphosate that's in the food, the water, everywhere, suppresses that and blocks that. That's why using the compounds God gave us does incredible things. Now, we sold out of the first round of concentrated gummies, Irish Sea Moss, Ultimate Sea Moss, theAlexJonesStore.com. But more's coming in next week. But they just got in yesterday the powdered capsules of it that don't taste great like the gummies, but dissolve in your stomach so you never taste it, so it doesn't matter, that are twice as strong when it comes to the iodine and the other key compounds in it. Now, the gummies are amazing. People are going to love them. You get instant energy from them, but it takes a few weeks for the iodine to really kick in so you really feel it. But with these capsules, they are actually a little bit more than twice as powerful with the main ingredients. So believe me when I say you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com, look at the ingredients list, and then research the ingredients for yourself, because it's not just the sea moss. It's a superfood. It has the iodine, a bunch of other vitamins and minerals and key trace elements in it, so it really gets into your blood, really gets into your cells. I was already incredibly excited about our sea moss because I know about the rave reviews, but since I've been taking it, it is insanely good. I just now started taking yesterday the capsules, and they're even more incredible than the gummies. So for adults, for children, for old folks, for everybody, you want to get Ultimate Sea Moss at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operation. No matter what happens to InfoWars, supporting our sponsors, thealexjonesstore.com, is critical to the fight. Plus, these are amazing products. You can get one bottle of the Sea Moss gummies or the Sea Moss powdered capsules for 40% off, two for 40%+, and three for 50%+ exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, the classic InfoWars red on navy blue shirt. This is a classic, but if InfoWars shuts down, it's going to be quite a collector's item, quite the memento of history. But if we survive, it'll be even cooler. So please make your mark in history. Know that you back the most critical media organization defending Team Humanity at the most important time in our decades and decades long history. Please visit now thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you all for your past support and ask you now more than ever to commit at this critical time.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. I want to talk a little bit more about the invasion crisis. We also have some a very funny story about Tucker Carlson that I want to tell you about in just a second. We'll go out to your phone calls again. But this story is from CBS News. It's one of those stories where, like, if you just have the bare minimum knowledge, awareness, or intelligence to critically read this, it's saying the opposite of what it purports to say. So the headline from CBS News, Trump's plan to deport millions of immigrants would cost hundreds of billions of dollars, CBS News analysis shows. We can't afford it, folks. We can't afford to deport the invaders, apparently. For my audience, I'm sure you're already rolling your eyes, because the very obvious rebuttal to this is, but how much does it cost for them to stay? But they're really trying to convince you that deporting the millions upon millions of people that came into the country. And hey, look, if it's really expensive, if it's going to be painful, if it's going to cost a lot to get rid of these people, the fault lies at the people who let them in the first place. Obviously. Obviously, right? Because you've got some vandal, you know, going into an IKEA and throwing paint all over one of the model kitchens. And somebody else comes in and goes, this is going to take hundreds of dollars to clean up all of this. And the IKEA manager's just like, how dare you? How dare you? And the guy, the vandal, is just standing there like, I can't believe it. can't believe you're going to cost us this much money from cleaning up. No, the person cleaning up the mess is not to blame for the cost of the mess. It's the person who made the mess. It's people who let in the migrants that are responsible, that are at fault for the hundreds of billions of dollars that's going to cost us either way. Either way, this costs us hundreds of billions of dollars. But let's look at their ridiculous justification for saying, literally, they're saying we cannot afford to deport criminals, to deport illegal immigrants. But I repeat myself. They say last week, Trump drew fervent applause from a rally crowd after saying he would get these people out and deport them so rapidly in Aurora, Colorado. On Friday, Trump told rallygoers he would rescue Aurora and every town that has been invaded and conquered. Immigration researchers, lawyers, and economists have pointed to immense constitutional, humanitarian, and economic problems posed by Trump's oft-repeated pledge. They say beyond the anticipated damage to immigrant families, communities, and local economies, the roundup and deportation of some 11 million people, try 50 million, is near impossible to bankroll, according to an analysis of U.S. budget and immigration court data by CBS News. Even if Congress approved the hundreds of billions of dollars in spending, deporting every undocumented immigrant living in the U.S. would take far longer than 4 years, the analysis finds. Oh, so let's just not do it, I guess? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. They also say apprehending and deporting just 1 million people could cost taxpayers $20 billion. Deporting 11 million people would cost 20 times that. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 20 times what the nation spent a year over the last 5 years on deporting living people in the U.S. People living in the U.S. Like, you can tell just from the way they phrase this, it doesn't make any sense. Deporting 11 million people over 4 years would cost more than 20 times the amount that the nation spent in over the last 5 years per year deporting people. Like, what does that even mean? Deporting over the last 5 years, the amount spent per year deporting people is 1/20th of what it would take to deport 11 million over 4 years. Who cares? What is this math? Who cares?
You know, Harrison, I think they're right. I think what we need to do is allow them to stay here and form a permanent underclass, almost like we just pay them like a subsistence wage.
Forever.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
That seems like the most humane thing to do, right?
You know what? I actually have a solution to this. It's very easy. It'll be very cheap, like incredibly cheap, actually. By the way, an interesting twist to this is that lawful immigrants, legal immigrants, is actually more expensive than illegal immigration on a per migrant cost, with each legal migrant getting $4,300 in benefits more than they pay in taxes per year. So each legal immigrant costs America $4,300 per year as a deficit to their household. And that's people with lawful immigrant head of household.
No, but like they're totally not like sucking up other services, like, you know, seats in schools.
Oh, that's the thing. Yes, you're exactly right, and that's the thing. First of all, let's just put this in context. They say it's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. Good Lord, we can't do it to deport these people as a one-time cost, and then they're gone. Here's how much it costs right now to support these people in the country. Clip number 24. Oh, that's the FEMA camp one. Oh, yeah, 23, sorry. Or 25, yes.
There's a new report from the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security majority. They say the price tag per year is $451 billion. That is both for the housing and care of the asylum seekers, as well as those known gotaways.
So that's housing and care. Housing and care. $450 billion per year. Per year, half a trillion dollars per year. Just on their lodging. Okay?
No. But see, the thing is that we'll totally make that money back in all the tax revenue that they generate.
Right.
Because they're totally not working under the table, and they're totally not, you know, forming black markets themselves. Right?
Right. No, I mean, this is the thing. When you really start thinking about it, it's the black market. It's the under the table, you know, money where you're not getting taxes from. Even officially, as I just showed you on the table, legal immigrants are tax drains. They don't provide more than they are given. They are given $4,000 more per year than they provide. So they're tax drains constantly, and that's legal immigrants. Illegal immigrants, obviously, significantly less contributed to taxes and more services used. It's not counting schools. It's not counting the money and the time, the innumerable man hours wasted on the crimes committed by these people, on the investigating, on the court procedures to tell whether or not they're asylum seekers, on the border patrol that we have to, you know, send out there to bring these people in, on the flights that they use. I mean, it's not including any of that stuff.
Oh, so, about the legal services, the court dates they all have to attend?
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the court dates, the court procedures, just for immigration and for being an illegal immigrant, on top of the crimes that they commit that make everything more expensive, on top. I mean, just it goes on and on. The school positions that they're taking up that aren't just, you know, the same as an American person, which would be bad enough already, but, you know, when they don't speak English and they need extra services, you need to hire extra people to do the translating or extra teachers to teach them specifically or extra, you know, counselors to coordinate it all. It's, I mean, the cost is astronomical. So it is just, long story short, it is a ridiculous claim to make that it would somehow be more expensive to deport these people than not. It's just absolutely absurd, completely ridiculous. And hey, even if it was more expensive, you know where that money would be going, the money spent to deport these people? It'd be going to American people. It'd be going to citizens, the ones who are paid to actually do the deportation, or the corporations that would be need to provide the transportation and everything. The money would be going to Americans rather than being poured into this permanent slave underclass of criminals that we are importing by the millions. But let me just tell you, before we got to calls, what the solution to this is. Hey, you can do it for pennies on the dollar. It would cost practically nothing. Now, I've explained this before, but let me lay it out again. You simply make an announcement and you say, we are providing free trips back to your home country. Anybody that's arrived over the last 4 or 5 years, we hate to break this to you, but you were let in under false pretenses. They used illegal methods to not enforce the law, right? The executive branch simply choosing not to enforce the law is not its prerogative. It does not get to write laws from the executive branch. The legislature has written laws. It says that the border has to be secured. It says that people coming across have to be legitimate asylum seekers, or they have to wait over. The executive branch has unilaterally decided to upend all of that stuff and provide temporary protected status and all this other crap that they did through executive order. All of that can be undone through the executive orders. It can all be taken away again. Just because you let somebody in, just because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas opened the gates and said, actually, you can come on in and get everything for free, it doesn't mean that we are then obligated forever to uphold that agreement they made on our behalf. They had no right to do it. It can be undone. So you tell the immigrants, look, I'm sorry, you were brought here under false pretenses. You are not allowed to stay. You are going to have to go home. We are going to not prosecute you or punish you whatsoever. We are going to provide you free transportation back to your home country on our dime, first class, direct flight, no problem. Go to your local registration office, sign up for a flight. We're going to get you out of here within a week. And if you don't do that, you're going to be arrested and charged and face up to 20 years of hard labor. So see you at the registration office, okay? It's literally as simple as that. We will happily return you to your home country. No arrests made, no SWAT teams raiding places. No, it's up to you. You got to do this. And you have a year, 10 months. You have 3 months, whatever the time period is. You have this long to go sign up for a flight home. If you don't do that, now you're in violation of the law. Now you're a criminal in the United States. Now we will be coming to get you, and you're not going home. You're staying here, and you're fixing our roads for the next 20 years. You don't think immigrants, do you think immigrants would risk that? Or would they just go back to the countries they came from that are not in war and not starving and not being doing, you know, nothing there is happening that would qualify them for asylum anyway, so they get to go back home. They get to go back home. You're welcome. We're very generous people. We're happy to provide you a flight back home. If you refuse our very generous offer, you will be digging ditches for 20 years. So make the choice. And then it's the cost of the plane ticket, and that's it. Now, it could get a little bit more expensive if you wanted to tag them like a dolphin and then geofence the border. So anybody that gets deported and they come back, the chip in their ear goes off. I don't know. I don't know about that. That sounds a little bit far-fetched to me, but it is possible. We could do that. Let's go out to your phone calls now. Tim in California has called in about Kamala and plagiarism. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Harrison, and congrats on the new edition.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've heard this from the Daily Mail and from Breitbart. Christopher Rufo is a guy that, you know, famously got Claudine Gay, the head of Harvard, to resign because she was busted for all her plagiarism.
Yes.
And he's working with this Austrian fellow, Stefan Weber. And basically, they've gone back to Kamala Harris's first book, Smart on Crime, and they found that it's just rife with plagiarism.
Yeah.
And if it were anybody else on earth, maybe it wouldn't matter as much, but here's the problem. If you're an attorney, which she is, you're supposed to know all about how you credit all these other people and cite, get proper citation and accreditation and so forth. But if you don't do it, you're not serious and you're lazy. And here's what happened. Back in 1987 and 1988, Joe Biden, who was an attorney, Joe Biden was running for president of the United States. And he got busted even way back when because he was so flagrant about it. And you guys have shown this, where he was basically word for word lifting from Robert F. Kennedy. And he was also word for word lifting from Neil Kinnock, the Labor Party leader from Britain.
Right.
But either way, he had to drop out of running for president of the United States. It
right.
ended his run for the presidency. So what I'm wondering is, hey, it's not like there's not some synergy here. After all, they were in office together. He was president. She was vice president. He's an attorney. She's an attorney. And now they've quite clearly made the case that, yeah, she did a lot of taking without getting any credit for it. And they, you know, the if you want, we can cite every little jot and tittle of what she lifted and stole. But, I mean, she stole from the Associated Press. She stole from John Jay College and Criminal Trust. You know, she stole from the Bureau of Justice Statistics from West Palm Beach and just blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's 10 or 12 things they cite here that she heavily lifted and gave no accreditation on, including word-for-word stuff from Wikipedia.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to lift something, use something better than Wikipedia.
Yeah, no,
but
she basically copied and pasted entire pages of Wikipedia. No, you're exactly right. I'm glad you brought up the Biden synchronicity where this did happen to Biden in 87 and he dropped out of the race over it. Obviously, like, it'd have to be a lot worse for them to get Kamala Harris to drop out at this point. And, you know, obviously they don't hold their people to the same standard as apparently they once did. Final thoughts on this, Tim, before I go to other callers, but I'm glad you brought this up.
That's it. It's just to expose it. Yeah. I know they probably won't make her drop out this late. But she shouldn't get a free pass on it either.
And
hey, what do you think about the time when you wrote your book, honey? Can you tell us about that?
Yep, and it just reflects just a general moral lacking that is there in the Democratic Party. That, I mean, they're fine with this. They don't give a damn about stuff like that. It's power. It's all power. They just want what gives them power. And acknowledging this would deprive them of power. So it will not be acknowledged anytime soon. Thank you very much for that call, Tim. Very good stuff. Let's go to Dave in Arizona now. I want to talk about human trafficking and illegal immigration. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, first, congratulations, Harrison. Welcome back home after a couple weeks off.
Thank you very much.
Well deserved. Congratulations on family, sir.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I wanted to mention everything that we're dealing with and have dealt with for years, decades, generations is inextricably linked. There's a famous quote from Lenin. There are decades in which nothing happens, and there are weeks in which decades happen.
Yep.
We have been in this dystopian nightmare for years. Operation Chaos continues to roll along. It's not one thing. It's not two things. It's eight things every single day, right?
Yep.
So we're talking today about the border crisis, right? And since we don't have a border and we don't have free, fair, and transparent elections, we technically don't have a country anymore. And it's all intentional. Our sociopathic overlords in the establishment class, on both parties, on both sides, they want us in perpetual chaos. So I and the rest of the crew there, you guys are finally, not finally, you guys are focusing on words because words have meaning. We have to say illegal invaders. We have to say the word rape because those people that come across the border, whether they're minors or they're of age, they're adults, they're in indebted servitude. And they come across the border with a debt hanging over their head, and they're forced into the rape culture of the United States for years. Yeah. We always have to use the word rape. It's not sex trafficking. It's trafficking into the rape culture of the United States.
Yeah, and you can tell how important these words are. There's an article we read yesterday, or I guess it was a clip that we showed, where they're saying, Trump uses the term conquered. He says they're taken over, and they're like very mad at him for using that word. And they say, well, the whole state hasn't been totally conquered. So how dare you say that? And it's like, obviously he's not saying everyone in Colorado has been killed and replaced with a Venezuelan. It's not like Venezuelans are sitting in the governor's mansion having conquered all of Colorado, but it's an accurate characterization of an unfriendly population of adult males moving into an area and then no longer recognizing the authority of that area, the lawful authority of the United States government. So that's conquering. That's taking over. That's an invasion. And they recognize how dangerous these words are, and they put out guidelines from the AP and other major news outlets that dictate which words to use. Don't use illegal immigrant. Don't use illegal alien. Use migrant border crosser. Don't say conquered. Say, having assumed the authority in the area. Whatever it is, they understand how important words are. We need to understand how to counteract that. You're exactly right, Dave. Thank you, as always, for the call. Let's go to, I'm going to go to Eli in South Carolina on line one here about Yuval Harari. Go ahead, Eli. You're on the air about Yuval Noah Harari.
Hey, Harrison. So I love you, brother. Love InfoWars. Everybody go out, give InfoWars some money. You got the money. Just go on ahead and give it.
Thank you.
I thought I agree with you 100% of the time, every time. But this Yuval Noah Harari, I've been reading his book. And this whole thing about organic and inorganic, I just want to start off by saying this. So he's talking about how AI is being used to create life, and he starts talking about AlphaFold and how AlphaFold is this AI created by DeepMind, Google, and it looks at organic and inorganic proteins and figures out how to fold them. He ends it by saying, like, this is going to be used to create chimeras. And this inorganic, organic thing I think you're kind of getting hung up on, I want you to read the book. He just came out with the book last month called Nexus. And what he's saying is, he's like, yeah, as organic beings, we do need a day of rest. But the problem with the AI is it never turns off. So while we're sleeping, while we're trying to chill out, while we're getting distracted by other things, this AI is working to do things. It's finding loopholes. And if you don't give it a clear goal, then it's doing things that you don't want it to do. And he's saying that we don't have enough time in the day to go and like make sure that these billions of computers that are all talking and communicating to each other each and every second of every day, but we're not on that magnitude. We're not, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but, I guess to me, the point is, if these systems are working for the better, like what is the point of them, right? Are they just there to perpetuate themselves? Are they there? Are we now servants of the machine? Or are they servants of us? Is the point of these things operating to uplift and build up and provide comfort and care and excitement for humanity? Or are they replacing humanity and humanity is being seen as a burden because we have to sleep or whatever? Like, I'm fine with the machines working 24/7 if they're working to make things better for humans, But if they're just working on their, you know, the machines aren't the problem. It's who's controlling the machines. It's who's designing the machines and who is dictating to the machines what their priorities are and what their goals are, right? So the impression I always get from Yuval Noah Harari is he sees the advance of AI as almost creating like a superior being that is better than humans, and humans need to submit or be replaced, and that our existence is just sort of an accident that doesn't really matter, or, you know, it doesn't matter if we create something or do anything with our lives. We're just here to sort of twiddle our thumbs until we die. And that's such a low opinion of the human spirit. And, you know, robots, no matter how sophisticated you make them, it's all just mimicry of God's creation. And these people seem to despise God's creation and think they know better than God. So that's my beef with Yuval Noah Harari. I'm not saying he's wrong about the fact that computers don't sleep and humans do. Obviously, that's right. But what's the point he's making with that?
Well, by reading his book, there are major things that I disagree with him on. But I don't believe that he's as evil as we're making him out to be. He's like, part of the book, he sounds liberal. Then the second part of the book, he sounds just like us. And then in the third part of the book, you know, I've got like an hour and a half left of reading. I'm doing it on the audiobook. But
well, I'll listen to it. I mean, I know the guy's a popular writer. I have friends that have read his book, Sapiens, and say they like it. But I also just think that it just needs to be read with a critical ear. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, example I always think of is like, this might be totally off the wall. This might not make any sense, but there's an episode of Parks and Recreation, the old sitcom. And there's the character that is the libertarian character. And there's one episode in particular where there's like a little girl that comes to the local government and he takes her around all day and teaches her libertarian values. And so you watch that and you think, oh, this is cool. It's like a libertarian character. It's like expressing libertarian beliefs. And like, it seems like it's kind of like promoting libertarianism on TV. That's really cool. Then the end of the episode, the little girl comes back and says, I got in trouble because I didn't write the paper right about the government. And, you know, the end of it, it's the libertarian character like apologizing for his beliefs and saying, no, yeah, you're right. Government does matter. And so it's, you know, it's that type of thing where you read it and you think, okay, he seems to be expressing our ideas, but is he really expressing your ideas, or is the whole thing in service of the inverse, where at the end of it you go, oh, okay, they were actually mocking it the whole time.
The deep state hates me almost more than anybody in the world except President Trump. And that's because I've got their number. We've got a giant audience of activists like you that understand what's happening as well and aren't going to roll over and let them take over our planet and enslave us and depopulate us. We're going to stop this death cult together. But the enemies of freedom are trying to shut us down November 13th. Regardless, our great sponsors are going to keep the broadcast going no matter what. But we need funds to do it. So please go to our amazing sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, and get some of these amazing designs. More than 15 years ago, I designed this baby. We've brought it back. I love it. It's a collectible. It's limited edition. It's at thealexjonesstore.com. And now they've added long-sleeved, lightweight, and heavyweight hoodies for cool weather and super cold weather with all these incredible designs. They're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it gets even crazier. These shirts are being made right now, so I don't have one, but tomorrow we'll have one. It's in the mail to us right now. Look at this. You talk about fun. I was going to be a Democrat for Halloween, but my head wouldn't fit up my ass. Gotta love that. Here's another one. Make Halloween great again with the evil Trump. Make the frogs straight again. All these great designs and more are available at thealexjonesstore.com. It keeps us on the air at this critical time in the face of the globalists, and they're amazing shirts. You'll meet so many great people when you're out wearing these. It's an adventure to wear these shirts, and it keeps us on air. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for supporting free speech. You are the reason we're still here. God bless you. Now, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I want to thank all those that have gone and gotten the shirts. Thank you so much for what you're doing. You are amazing.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
The